October 1938, the Chicago Cubs win the National League pennant over the St. Louis Cardinals. Actor Christopher Lloyd from Back to the Future is born in Stamford, Connecticut. And Superman saves a town, a reporter, and money on train fare in the latest edition of Action Comics.
Here we are, face to face, a couple of silver spoons. Welcome back, everybody, to your favorite Action Comics podcast, hosted by me, Reaction Comics, where I am going through every issue of Action Comics from now until long after I'm dead. I'm on episode 5 of this podcast already, can you believe it? Which brings me to issue 5 of Action Comics. So why don't we just dive right in without any further ado from October 1938, Action Comics number 5. And if you remember, the Superman story in these comics are just part of a larger magazine. And a lot of these covers have nothing to do with Superman. They're a different story in the comic. So maybe they don't realize yet what they have on their hands, because this is another issue of Action Comics with a different story. But what I like to do, and this story is not included in the app I use, the DC Unlimited Universe, whatever it's called. It's just the Superman story. So I like to take the cover and kind of guess what I think the story is about. And I've noticed a trend on a couple of these things where it seems to be like a white fella fighting off non-white people, which is a little troublesome. But I guess in the 30s, it was just par for the course. What I see here is a dude in a ripped shirt, a very muscular guy, and he kind of has that Charlton Heston look about him. And his shirt's ripped. He's on this giant sand mound in the middle of he's in the middle of a desert. And there are all these guys around him. I don't know if they're Arabians, what the term is. I'm sure I'm getting that wrong, but they have like turbans on and, they have all these curved swords, you know, they're exotic and they seem to be surrounding him on this hill, and he has a gun, but he's holding the gun by the barrel. So he seems to be using it. He wants to pistol whip these people because he must be out of bullets. I'm assuming there's a line of dead people that he murdered, but that led to him being alone. I don't know how he ripped his shirt. He must have gotten some sort of tussle. I'm guessing that the story, this guy's the hero and all these people around him are obviously evil, the evil non-white men, and he probably gets out of it some crazy way. But he has some nice boots on and yellow pants. Yellow pants against the desert, not the most like contrast in color. I don't know if they didn't have a lot of colors to use then, but and I don't know what it actually looked like. This is a digitized, you know, kind of touched up version. So I don't know what the actual original cover looked like, but I know at least that he was white, they were not, and he was using his gun, hoping to bash their brains in before they stabbed them with their curved swords. But that's enough of the cover. Let's get right in to the Superman story. Now, what I've talked about in these other Superman stories, they have been about 14 pages long. This one so far is actually the shortest of all the Superman stories ever. This one's only 10 pages long. And I have to tell you, the last story that I talked about, if you haven't listened to episode 4 yet, it is bonkers for the leaps and bounds and steps and decisions that Superman makes for such a low stakes thing where it was like borderline comic and ridiculous. This one, not so much. This one is, there's a much bigger impact at stake with the story, and Superman pretty much does heroic things. There's a couple things in here that made me laugh, but for the most part, it seems like a pretty good Superman story. There's no villain. The only villain here, I guess, would be Mom Nature, Mother Nature, but Superman, he's there. He's there to save the day. Save the day from what? Well, why don't we get started talking about the Superman story of Action Comics, number 5, Superman by Jerome Siegel and Joe Shuster. And there's no precursor. Like, sometimes there's a top panel that talks about something that's going on in the story. Last time, it was a guy getting hit by a drunk driver. This time, it just says, another astounding adventure of the strongest man on Earth. And really, I don't have to go through every single panel, but what it's showing here is that the Vallejo Dam, Vallejo, which I guess is a town, is cracking under the strain of a huge downpour. So there's a big rain, even though the first frame is showing very sunny weather. The next frame is showing, the next panel is showing a crack in a dam. And I feel like in the Superman movies, Superman has fixed a crack in a dam, hasn't he? Didn't he do that in one of them? Did he do that in Niagara Falls? I forget. I know he saved a guy, a kid, from falling in Superman 2. But in this, there's a giant crack in a dam, and it says, should this dam give way, a mountain of water will sweep down the valley, killing thousands and destroying the fertile land. I mean, okay, destroying the fertile lands, it's a big deal, but I think the killing thousands is the headline here. Let's be honest here. I mean, land can be, you know, can be restored or fixed. I mean, you can move. Dead bodies might be a bigger issue. And it apparently this is news being broadcast over the wire. And in the office of the Daily Star, because remember, we don't have the Daily Planet, it shows editor. We still don't have a name for this editor. Again, I don't know if Perry White works for the Daily Star ever. Maybe he works for the Daily Planet. He might have showed up in the radio show. I don't know exactly all the details. I don't want to know. I don't want to look it up. I want to find out as I'm discovering, through the podcast. But the editor is like, Kent, get me Clark Kent. So he definitely wants Kent on this story. And Lois Lane's like, look, he's not in his office. He's like, well, you got to look for him, Lois. We have to have him report on something before I lose my mind. And Lois is like, well, listen, why don't you let me handle this assignment? And the guy says, I can't. It's too important. This is no job for a girl. And Lois says, no job for a woman, huh? I'd have a mind to, which is interesting that this guy says, there's no job for a girl. I'm surprised he didn't say it's no job for a dame or a skirt. But Lois did say no job for a woman, huh? She didn't refer to herself as a girl. She referred to herself as a woman. Just throwing that out there, I've noticed that, because it's telling me that Lois, I don't know, maybe our writers here are saying, look, don't call this girl a girl. She's a woman, and she is very capable of reporting on the story. I mean, it doesn't quite turn out great for her, but she definitely has a plan in place. And what is that plan? She goes outside and she sees Clark outside the paper. She's like, oh my God, you're just the man I'm looking for. And Clark, being like, you know, the nerdy weasel, he's like, you're actually glad to see me? She's like, yes, definitely. I can you do me a favor? There's this woman who's having septuplets at the, and I have a story for you. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, he goes, you got to cover an assignment for me. He's like, I'll do anything for you. It's like, there's a woman at the hospital. She's having septuplets. He's like, wow, that's an amazing story. Thank you. Thank you for letting me handle this. You know what she really wanted to do? She wanted to get Clark out of the picture, because she's going to show that this is a job that a woman can do. So she goes off and gets one round trip ticket to Vallejo. She's taking the train right to Vallejo. She wants to get right to this story. Why not go directly to where the dam might crack? That seems very safe. Meanwhile, at the hospital, Clark's like, you know, he's there to see the birth of these amazing septuplets, which I'm guessing in the 30s is a death sentence. And the nurse is like, I'm sorry, someone's been spoofing you, pal. There's no one registered here with that. He's like, that's strange. I wonder if Lois is by any chance pulling a double cross. I better get right back to the office. He goes back to the office, and the chief is like, what the hell are you doing here? What are you going to the office? He's like, why do you go to the hospital for? She's like, I didn't know. He's like, yeah, the worst part is the last train already left. So guess what, Kent? You're fired. So because Lois pulled a trick on Clark Kent, Kent can't get to Valley Hill because the last train has already left town. And Lois took that train. So, of course, the next natural thing is to fire Clark Kent. But Kent has other plans. When alone, he strips off his outer garments and stands revealed in the Superman costume. Now to get that story. So, really, when you think about it, I said that Superman actually does some pretty heroic things here. But really, he's just using his platform right now to get the story. He doesn't see anything that he needs to do as far as saving lives. He's like, I'm going to get my job back, and I'm going to get that story. So he takes off. He starts leaping off buildings. Bing, bang, boom, jumping off one building, jumping off the next building. He ends up reaching the train that Lois is on. And he's like, oh, well, there's the train, huh? Oh, well, hello and goodbye. And he just runs off, runs way past the train, gets there way early. He's like, if Lois thinks she's going to be scooping me, she's badly mistaken. So he doesn't quite reach there yet, but he reaches this bridge. They call it the Railroad Trestle, which I would have never called that. And he noticed that part of the bridge is loose. And he's like, uh-oh, that train, if it goes over that bridge, it's going to crash. The train is going to collapse. The bridge is going to collapse, and everyone on it is going to die. Superman, he's not, he's had some moments where he's shown a little selfishness, but right now he realizes that the lives of these people are more important than the story. So without a moment's hesitation, the cloak figure mounts a peak of rocks and dives forward. So he, because remember, Superman doesn't fly. This Superman can't fly. So he jumps down, then he grabs the bridge support, and he pushes it, holds it up, and he holds it just long enough for the train to pass. He's like, he holds it up, the train passes, and then after he lets go and it crashes. He says, after which he permits it to crash. He lets it crash after that. And Lois is looking out the train like, oh my God, the bridge collapsed. And it's like, one instant earlier, we would have been killed. And they're like, we got to send word back to the other trains that the bridge is out. So Superman, what he just did was saved everyone on this train and allowed this train to call back to the other trains at the station and let them know not to cross this bridge. So he saved countless lives. Now, when the train arrives, I guess the train beat Superman there. I'm not sure exactly. No, it doesn't look like it. So when the train arrives, everyone is running onto the train. They're trying to escape because they realize this dam is going to give way and they're all going to be killed. They're rushing back onto the train, which when you think about it, where's that train going to be going? It can only go as far as the bridge. Maybe they just want to take it as far as they can to get away from the flood. Not entirely sure. It seems like there's a little loophole, a little like logic plot hole there. Because all those people, if they demand the train take off, they all will plummet to their death. She actually calls for a taxi, and she's like, will you give me a lift to the dam? I mean, these people are trying to escape the dam, and Lois wants the story so bad. These reporters are so hardcore that she wants the story so bad that she wants to take a taxi to the dam. And Superman is like, look, people could be dying someplace else. I need to get this story. I mean, yes, okay, he's going to save some lives in the process. But again, think about it. He's probably doing this mostly for a story. The cab driver's like, lady, you can have my cab. I want to get the hell out of here. So Lois is like, cool. She takes the taxi. He hands her the keys. She takes the taxi and heads off to the dam. The dam is not far distant. So, apparently she knows how to get there, or I guess just drive the opposite direction that everyone else is going because everyone's trying to escape. Superman actually gets to the dam, and he actually is trying his best to hold it together. He's like, if I can only hold it a little longer, most of the people around here will be able to clear out. So, okay, I was wrong. It wasn't just selfishly for a story. He's there to try to save lives, to try to save the day. He's trying his best to hold that dam and save all those lives. But he can only hold it for so long, and it starts to give. And suddenly, the dam just collapses. And Superman starts like leaping above the water's turbulent fury. But then he notices that there's a car down there. There's a taxi. What the hell? There's some woman down there driving a car. Who the hell would be driving a car right up to the dam, right where the water is rushing down? She's like, and you see Lois in the car going, the dam's gone. I haven't a chance. And it's a little rough to read because a lot of this is green where I think it should be blue for water, but it looks like Lois is underwater and about to drown. Superman sees her and she's like, oh my God, a car's in the flood's path. A girl's inside. I've got to save her. So, but while, before he gets to get down there, the car gets swept off by the flood, but Superman reaches the car, looks like goes underwater, pulls Lois up towards the water, and with a powerful stroke, brings them back to shore. Instantly, Superman is off like a shot, racing the flood. So now, remember, Superman can't fly, so he's holding Lois, and he's just running, literally running away from the water, running away from the flood. It started to catch up to him, but then he passes it. He passes it, and he realizes there are still thousands of lives at stake. It's not all about the story here. This is the Superman I love. This is the Superman I want to see, who's there to save lives first. So he runs with Lois, leaps up by this like big giant rock mountain thingamajiggy, and starts pushing on it, pushing on it, pushing on it, and until the top of this rock, this mountain peak cracks and cascades down into the face of the flood. The avalanche of the rock crams shut the mountain gap below, cutting off, diverting the flood to another direction away from Valley Ho Town. He saves the town. Now, we don't know. There could be countless other towns that just get wiped away that probably would have lived if Superman didn't change the direction of the flood. He didn't stop the flood. He just put it in a different direction. So there still could be thousands of people killed. Just no one in Valley Ho. So they're happy. And he's like, whew. Barely in time, and he puts down Lois. Lois is like, you did it. You saved all those people. Oh, I could kiss you. And then she says, as a matter of fact, I will. Superman's like, lady, please. Literally, I couldn't say if he was like, lady, please relax, or lady, please kiss me, because of the next frame, he's like, wow, what a kiss. And she says, a super kiss for a Superman. Suddenly, sweeping Lois off her feet, Superman leaps offward. He's like, enough of that. I've got to bring you back to safety where I'll be safe from you. I read that earlier today thinking he said, I'm going to bring you back to safety where it'll be safe for you. But that doesn't make any sense. He's like, I'm going to bring you back to safety where I'll be safe from you. So it's almost like, look, you kiss me like that one more time and I don't know what's going to be happening, but I'm going to fall in love. But it's, see, he needs to like kind of distance himself from her. He's like, look, this is a bit much. I haven't kissed a woman in a long time, and I need time alone to kind of figure out what just happened. I can't be with you right now. And Lois is like, the first time you carried me like this, I was frightened, just as I was frightened of you. But now I love it, just as I love you. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a show that just premiered on the CW called Superman and Lois. They're a married couple, just navigating through the annals of life. But right here on this frame, I think in Action Comics number 5 is the first time Lois Lane said she was in love with Superman. She still doesn't like Clark very much, but she loves Superman. And Superman takes her back to Valley Ho, and she's like, don't go, stay with me, always. And Superman's like, yeah, perhaps we'll meet again. And then Clark Kent heads back to a payphone, calls the chief. He's like, look, I took a plane here. Of course, right? Who would take a... He took a plane to Valley Ho, which I guess beat the train. I don't know exactly. He's like, and I've got some sensational news. Am I rehired? Cool. So he did that. He took that on a whim to get his job back, and he got his job back. And after he leaves the phone booth, he goes and he encounters Lois. And he's like, Lois, that wasn't a nice stunt you pulled on me, but I still like you. And Lois, who just told Superman that she loves him, says, who cares? And then, in parentheses, because she's thinking, that spineless worm, I can hardly bear looking at him after having been in the arms of a real He-Man. The end. So, again, not a lot happening in the story. If you remember the last story, it seems like we're going from this to that, to kidnapping, to football, to this, to trains, to drunk driving. This one is a pretty straightforward story. As far as Superman stories are concerned, it is perfect. He saves the day. He gets the news story. Lois falls in love with him, but at the same time hates Clark and is really kind of a jerk to Clark, like a real jerk to Clark. And Lois's big thing was proving that a woman could do this job. And in the end, we find out that a woman couldn't do this job. It's 1938. Now, she could do it. I shouldn't say she couldn't do it, but a woman didn't do it. She went there to do it. And this woman almost drowned, had to be saved by Superman, and then Clark gets the story after all. So Lois, of course, is pissed. And she's probably like, wait, Clark, how did you even get the story? And he probably told her, I took a plane. She's like, what are you talking about? There are no planes around here. He's like, And then, didn't he kiss? Was it Superman 2 where Clark kissed Lois and then she lost her memory? That's not a real Superman, power, is it? Has it been in anything else? I feel like it's been played with probably in the comics or maybe even in Smallville. But, yeah, I don't know if it's been... if that's ever been done in the comics first, or if that was first for Superman 2. Anyway, that's besides the point. The point is that Clark got the story. Superman saved the day. Lois professed her love for him. So I wonder if in future issues, she's going to be showing how much more she loves him and how little she likes Clark. Like, when does she start liking Clark? Even as a friend, even as like a coworker, is it always going to be like, I love Clark. I mean, I love Superman, but my goodness, you suck, Clark Kent. Is it going to be that kind of yin and yang, double life kind of fun thing where Clark's like, oh my goodness, if I could only get the girl, if I could only tell her who I really am, she would like me for me, and I wouldn't have to pretend to be this schlub around her. I don't know, but it is exciting, and again, there is some things to laugh at and some fun moments in this, but it's not as ridiculous as some of these other stories. And I'm sure there will be other, you know, weird decisions that Superman makes in the future. But Action Comics 5, I think he pretty much does everything that Superman should do. So I would say that this was a good representation of the Superman I know, except for the flying part. We'll get there someday. I can't wait. I'm sure this will be after the radio this program premieres, but looking forward to finding all the mythos of Superman, the Kryptonite, the Kryptonians, Ma and Pa Kent, the farm, the powers as they come in, you know, super breath. Like we all know now, it's super breath, super strength, the X-ray vision, the heat vision, and of course the power of flight. But right now he's just really strong. And he can leap really far because he's really strong. So it'll be awesome to kind of see when and how the powers come in and how they're introduced. Are they all introduced in the radio show? And who are the writers that introduce these things? I can't wait. I just can't wait to find out these things. I love Superman and I love diving back into this rich history of where it all began. But I also love the current things that are going on with Superman, namely... I just want to talk quickly about Superman and Lois on the CW. Folks, if you are Superman fans and you haven't watched the show, I highly recommend it. Yes, it is a CW drama. So there is this melodrama a bit. It's a very family-focused show, meaning there's no origin story. Superman is already Superman. We know that. Lois is already Lois. They're already married, and they have children. Now, this kind of was touched on in one of the crossovers from the other CW shows, the Crisis on Infinite Earths, kind of how worlds were rewritten, and all of a sudden, Superman and Lois have children. But it seems like with this, they're kind of taking that and branching off of it. Like, they're not quite making it seem like they were like, well, wait, we have children? It's like, this is the world they've always had. This is the story that we're telling of this Superman. And kind of, not ignoring, but kind of like referencing that other world. But this is its own thing. And I am all in, obviously. I've already watched it twice. And it's going to be, I don't think I'm going to watch this episode a third time, but I can't wait for the next episode of that to come out. And also, I want to talk about, I want to talk about Instagram, folks. If you found me through my Instagram account, awesome. I kind of started the Instagram account to promote the podcast. That's really the reason it was made. But I'm having so much fun with this Instagram account, kind of taking the screenshots of the comics and posting them with little notes, things that I've talked about in the episode, but just kind of poking fun at them and joking and showing how silly some of this stuff really is and how much fun it is. And I've made, I've only made about 20 or so posts, but I've started to get a bunch of followers, which is really cool. And I'm going to keep doing that and keep doing this. And hopefully, if you aren't following me on Instagram, you can check it out. It's Reaction Comics. So hopefully I get people following me that are listening to the podcast. And hopefully I get people listening to the podcast who are following me. See that? It's called Synergy. Synergy. Exciting, exciting. And one other thing. And I'm just going to tell this right now. I have another podcast, and it's called Geek Mentality. And starting Monday, March 1st, I'm going to be watching Back to the Future every single day in March and doing a podcast every single day in March. That's 31 podcasts covering Back to the Future for 31 days, watching it 31 times. All right? You got it? Go to fans.experts.com to find out more. Look up Geek Mentality wherever podcasts are available. And the name of this project, what else? It's called Marchy McFly. So I hope you check that out. And I hope you stay subscribed here, because next Monday and every Monday until the end of time, there will be an episode of Reaction Comics, because this is so much fun. And again, thank you so much for listening. You can find me on Twitter at Geek Mentality, on Instagram at Reaction Comics, and the website is fansnotexperts.com. Awesome. Thank you. I'm not quite sure how to end this, so I'm just going to end it the way I've been ending every other episode. Until next time, stay super.
Fans Not Experts.